Okay, this is February 20th, and the topic this month is It Stops With Me.
Good evening.
Good evening.
There is a power for good in the universe, and you and I are part of that power. And it is up to us to use that power, to see that power for good, and to ignore the rest that is going on out there. We want to see good everywhere. We want to know that we are part of this thing called God or this thing called good. So that's what the purpose of religious science is all about, for you to understand that you are part of the universe, and the universe is good. Universe, God, and love are all one and the same thing. And we're part of those. And we want to know that about ourselves, and we want to give up that idea that the world tells us that that is not true. So, the topic for this month was, It Stops With Me, and what does that mean? All these ideas that you have out there that are worthless, that no longer serve you, don't carry them to the next person. Let it all stop with you. Let all this stuff stop. You hear things constantly, and see things constantly, and we don't do anything about it. Now, I'll tell you what I mean by that. I don't know how many people are watching this program called Downton Abbey. Wonderful thing, but now it's turned completely soap opera. Last week, the whole thing was the young lady got some kind of a disease and died, so the love affair that was going on between the other two, now he's not going to do it because he feels guilty. He has to now remain in mourning and remain feeling guilty the rest of his life and never find true love, and the one he loves is going to marry somebody she doesn't love, and all this and everything. I brought that up to a friend of mine who has a very good mind, in fact, is a lawyer. And she said, well, that's just a way of writing, Dallas, and that's just a tool that writers use. I said, absolutely, it's a tool that writers use, but why do we have to keep using that same tool? Why do we have to put that out there, that guilt and so forth? Why do we have to think that we have to suffer and all that? As long as we keep writing about it, as long as we keep seeing it on television and seeing it in soap operas and all, we take it for granted that that's the way people handle their lives. It's got to stop with you. You've got to say, no, that is not correct. You know, maybe fun to watch those things, but they seep in. You have to be very careful. It seeps into your mind, and you say, well, I'm going, because we're just, all of us are puppets of our own conditioning, or the conditioning of the world since day one. We came here as a blank slate, and we've just been conditioned and conditioned and conditioned. And one of the conditions that we have is with the culture that we grow up in, that tells us, oh, we can do this, we can't do that, we go da 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 do, whatever. It's that stuff has got to stop. We have to think of a new way to entertain ourselves. You turn on the television, which I call the killing machine, because all you see is somebody getting killed the whole time. You just see people getting killed. Why do we want to watch cops and robbers all the time? Isn't there something else out there to see? Isn't there something else out there? Couldn't they come up with a better thing? But they don't. We just keep seeing the same thing and the soap operas that are on. So all that stuff has to stop with us. We have to say, no, we don't want to see that anymore. If it sells, people will buy it. If people stop watching it, they'll have to come up with a different way to present things. Why can't we have beautiful stories going on? Beautiful where people get improved and so forth, you know. I think it's time for all that. We've been watching all that. And if you look at anything since day one, since the beginning of Greek tragedies, we use the exact same system when we write something, when we watch something at all. It's exactly the same formula. It's just updated. Surely there's a different way to present things than is being presented. That's what I was trying to discuss with my friend. I said, yes, I realize that that's one of the devices that a writer uses, but why do they use that device? Why can't they think of a different device to write about? You see? Would it sell? Would it not sell then? I have no idea. But unless we change, why do we want to look at that stuff? Why do we want all these scandal sheets constantly in the grocery stores and so forth? Is that the kind of consciousness we have, the rest of, you know, that we want to see how bad off everybody is and what drug fiends are out there and what's going on, instead of stopping that stuff and saying, I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to participate in that. It's going to stop with me. If it stopped with us, the whole thing would change. We would see something differently. But if we keep repeating the same thing, it just is modernized. The exact same tragedies that the Greeks talked about, we just have upgraded them to our century. That's all we've done. And we say there's only, you know, five different ways to present something. Why isn't there a sixth, seventh, eighth way? Why can't we think of a different way to do all those things? So that's what this means when we say, let it stop with me. Let this whole thing stop with me. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to participate in this. Yes, the writer uses that as a way to do something, but there has to be another way to do it. And that's what this teaching is about finding a different way to go through life, finding some better way to go through life. Okay, with that said, Andy, would you read that and pass it on, please?
I vow to live each moment in a way that is beautiful, solid, and free.
I vow to live each moment in a way that is beautiful, solid, and free.
I vow to live each moment in a way that is beautiful, solid, and free.
I vow to live each moment
in a way valid. Yes.
And I vow to live each moment in a way that is beautiful,
solid,
and free.
Well, solid. Solid isn't too good.
To live each moment in a way that is beautiful, solid, and free.
I vow to live each moment in a way that is beautiful, solid, and free.
I vow to live each moment in a way that is beautiful, solid, and free.
And I live. I vow to live. I vow to live each moment in a way that is beautiful, solid, and free. Yes, let's vow to live with beauty around us, you know, so that we don't see all that other stuff that's going on. You can see it if you want to, but anything you're looking at, regardless of we say, oh, that has no influence on me whatsoever, it always has an influence. Your subconscious mind hears and sees everything. It takes everything in. So, what are you taking in to your subconscious mind? All right, with that, I wanted to say that today is President's Day and bring up Abraham Lincoln. Do you know what Abraham Lincoln, one of his little things was? Most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Make up your mind to be happy. You have to do that. The outside world has nothing to do with happiness. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just a movie you're watching, people. It's what's going on the inside of life that counts. So just make up your mind, I'm going to be happy. And you'll start to be happy. All right, I have another wonderful thing here. And This is from somebody. I'll read it first, and then I'll tell you who said this. Love yourself first, and everything else falls into line. You really have to love yourself to get anything done in this world. You really have to love yourself to get anything done in this world. This was a quote from Lucille Ball. Lucille Ball. And I don't know if you know about Lucille Ball, you know, with her... She did B-grade movies. They told her she wasn't a great actress. She would never be a great actress. And, you know, Lucille Ball was not funny. No, she never appeared on any talk shows or anything. Her husband said, absolutely no, do not, never get onto a talk show because you're not funny. Lucille was only funny in I Love Lucy. She studied all the great comedians and so forth and studied with all the great people. She knew how to do that, but with a conversation and to be funny and witty, she was not a funny person, but she could be funny. So, why am I bringing that up? Because study, do these things. She was able to do it. So many people in Hollywood were told that they would never make it, and they made it. So, think of that. But start with yourself, always with yourself. Start to love yourself. It's the best thing that you can do on this plane of action. Learn to love yourself. And then things will fall into line, you know. Always, the question that you want to ask yourself in life is, what do you want? We're always in asking, what does somebody else want? You owe it to yourself always to ask, what do I want? And go for what you want. Make yourself happy. Fall in love with yourself, and the rest will fall in line. If you try any other way to do it, it's not going to work for you. And that's why there's so much misery and so forth going on out there in the world, because people do not like themselves. So, learn to like yourself. And here comes Thomas. Okay, with that, I want to bring up this little pamphlet and go over this pamphlet, because everyone's always asking me for steps or for material on how to get something done in their lives. I've had this at least 30 or 35 years. You can see it's my little copy. It's quite old. I had them. This came from, Unity. And it came from a friend of mine, Tom Talbert, and his name is on the bottom here. Tom Talbert made his transition maybe 20 years ago or more. Tom Talbert was the first person that I did treatment work for. He wanted to be a principal of a high school in New Orleans. And at that time, he was living in Georgia. So when I was getting my practitioner's license, I used him as one of my people for a demonstration. So the September came and he did not have a job as a teacher or as a principal. So he came to me and he said, what am I going to do about this, Dallas? He said, it's September and I was not hired. I said, go. If that's what you want, you go home and start packing boxes. And Mark, put your stuff in those boxes and write New Orleans on those boxes. Within 3 days, they called him and said, we have a position as, I think, a third grade teacher, and we're willing to let you have that. He called me and said, but that isn't what I want, Dallas. He said, I want to be principal. He was a principal, by the way, before he had the qualifications for that. I said, take the job. This is an opening for you. This is what we call movement in mind. This is a movement in mind. You take that job, something will happen. He was there, I forget, maybe 3 months, and was promoted to principal of the high school in 3 months' time. After, if he wouldn't have done that, if he wouldn't have taken the job or anything, it would not have happened. It would not have happened. So many people come to me and they want a job and so forth. And the first thing they say, well, you don't understand, Ellis. I'm used to making more money than that. I can't take that job. I'm used to making more money. I said, what are you making now? You're out of work. You're not making a damn cent. Take the job. Why do you have to take the job? Because if you take the job, your mind, your consciousness knows that you're working. If you don't, your mind says you're unemployed and you don't have a job. If you take the job, something will open up every time it happens that way. But, oh, I had one person, well, I'm used to making much more than that. They're only offering me $50,000. I said, you're not making 1 cent right now. Take the job. He took the job, and now he's making, I don't know what his salary is at the present moment, but he's making money. But people get it in their heads that, oh, you see, once the mind is stretched, if you're used to making a certain amount, you have stretched your consciousness to that amount. It will always come back. This thing that called God, the universe, what have you, does not take things away from you. Once your consciousness is stretched, it doesn't come back like a rubber band. It stays where it is. Now, the universe has to fill that up. So, if you were used to making $100,000, the universe is not going to ask you, oh, you must take less money. You may have to start out with less money, but in no time you'll be back to the 100,000 because it's in consciousness. That's how you get something. That's how you stretch your consciousness. But people think it's beneath them to take a job that doesn't make that much money. Work is work, people. The universe doesn't know. It's not beneath anything. It's not your work is work. You should never say that's beneath me. You take the job, it will open up for you. It will open up for you. If you sit around, all you'll say, your mind will tell you that you're unemployed. And when people say, do you have a job? You say, no, I don't have a job. Every time you say you don't have a job, the universe hears that. So, and you don't have a job, and you're not going to get a job. Because you keep saying that. So take those things and it will build because you cannot shrink your consciousness. You can grow your consciousness. And once it's stretched, it stays stretched. And it will fill back up again. So don't be afraid if you're at the present moment, if you're out of work and you think you have to have that salary or if you think you'll never get a job again, take any job that comes along. And it will open up your consciousness and will open up the universe and you'll get what you want. And that's absolutely true. This, in 3 months' time, he became the principal of the high school. So, you have to know that God works in strange and mysterious ways. All right, so with that, this is an old pamphlet. And here again, these old things from Unity, don't you believe it? I don't know the date when this was first put out, but I'm going to say probably in the 20s because it talks like somebody in the 20s. All these older metaphysical little pamphlets and so forth tell you exactly the new ones. They want to embroider everything. They want you to think that they're the smartest people in the world, and they throw all kinds of stuff in there that you do not need. So let's do this one quickly. Many people overlook a very important gift of God. They may feel that God has designed them for health, happiness, and success, but they fail to recognize and to accept the gift that will make the fulfillment of their dreams possible. This is the God-given ability to reject what they do not want in life. You see, you can reject anything you don't want in life. Just reject it. You don't have to do it. People think, oh, that's that old thing you made your bed, you have to lie in it. You see, that's a teaching of the world. That's complete race mind to say that. This teaching teaches you, get up and remake the bed. And remake it and remake it till that's the bed that you want it to be in. That's the most wonderful concept about this teaching. You never have to live in any mistake that you made. You step out of that mistake. You just step out of it. You forgive yourself and you step out of it. You see? Which takes me back now to that television program. They made a mistake. Now they think they have to live in it the rest of their lives. You do not have to. No one is punishing you. Remember, God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never sits in judgment upon itself through you. God does not do that. God does not judge. God is absolute love. So you see, God never condemns anything. Never condemns anything. We condemn it with our minds. We condemn it. Okay. And by the way, all the red things that are in here, I did not put in. This Tom put these in here. I did not do them. In order to accept God's greater good, we must learn to reject the thoughts and feelings that hold us in negativity or limiting conditions. We must learn to reject those thoughts. How many people have thoughts going on in their head? I can't do it. I'm not enough. I'm less than. You have to get rid of those thoughts. And you're the one who has to do it. You see, remember what Ernest Holmes said, you must learn to think the thought that you want to think. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. Not what the world's thinking, not what somebody else is thinking, and certainly not what your mind is thinking. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. Your mind is yours to use. I had somebody call me tonight from a convention in Washington, D.C. She had trouble all day long. Why? Because she left those people get to her instead of knowing who she was. She left for the convention. I said, now wait, before you go to the convention, you must remember to put your love glasses on. And you must remember that it's always God meeting God. Always God meeting God. Always God talking to God. She completely forgot. She said, oh, I have to write that down. I said, write it down and put it by the nightstand in the hotel. And tomorrow morning when you get up, you read that before you go out of the room. You read that before you go out of the room. You have to do that. You have to have the right thoughts going on. And you have to put them there. Okay. In order to accept God's greater good, we must learn to reject the thoughts and feelings that hold us in negativity or limiting conditions. We must learn to let go of concepts of lack. How many times have I told you, everyone here wants abundance and prosperity, but you're not getting the abundance and prosperity that you want because you still have a consciousness of lack and limitation. You must get rid of the lack and limitation immediately. Tonight, at dinner, of course, the television's on behind us. The table behind us is talking about gas prices going up. The gas prices going up. And the television's going on how hard it's going to be for everyone. I immediately said to myself, it's not going to be hard for me. Thank God I have the money. I don't care if it goes to $16 a gallon. I will manifest the money for it. My life is not going up and down with gas prices. My life is not going up and down with gas prices. I never talk about the price of gas. I never know what gas is usually. I never talk about how many miles I get on a pair of tires. I wouldn't know that if the world came to an end. These are things I don't want to know about. I know perfectly well that I'm going to be taken care of. I'll have the money somehow to get that stuff, and that's what you have to know. When you go there, you're putting yourself right into lack and limitation again, and you're having that mentality, you see. Instead of saying that, say, ah, I will manifest the money for this because I live in a consciousness of prosperity and abundance, not lack and limitation, you see. The difference between poor people and rich people is this. Poor people go up and down with their money. Rich people watch their money go up and down. It doesn't affect them. They just watch it go up and down. Most rich people have lost fortunes. They get it right back again. The consciousness is stretched. It all will come back to you. All will come back to you. I told you this before. One of the best sayings that I use and love, and it's from the Bible, is God will give you back the years that the locust ate. God will always give you back the years that the locust ate. Remember that. Things change. You will get everything back. Nothing can be taken from you, which is yours by right of consciousness. Nothing can be taken from you. Okay. We must become aware that limitations have no place in the mind of God. There's no limitations in the mind of God, and you're living, moving, and having your being in the mind of God. So when your little mind, your ego mind tells you that, move up in consciousness to a higher level of thinking. To a higher level of thinking. A couple weeks ago, I told you about the lady years ago, and this was in the 20s. Not that I was around the 20s. I'm old, but not quite that old. At a religious science convention, stood up, and this was during World War I, and said, there is no war in the mind of God. Of course, people dropped over. You know, they thought that was absolutely scandalous. Absolutely scandalous because war was raging. But war was not in the mind of God. You see, you cannot have that type of thing in the mind of God. I'll tell you another one, and I was present for this one when Helen Street, Reverend Helen Street, who used to be in Hawaii, and then she moved and took over the Glendale Church of Religious Science in Glendale. She stood up at a convention and said, when I come, God comes. Cleared the room. Well, it can't be any other way. We must agree with our God-given right to say no to anything in our lives that does not fit into the picture of rich and healthy children of a loving Father. Rich and healthy children of a loving Father. You see? Think of those things. I used to say to myself, I'm the child of the King. We say God is King, Jesus, you know. Well, you are a child of a king. Now, can you think of a king's child being poor? No. You cannot do that. Think of those things. And we can do this. Regardless of appearances that may seem overwhelming, the specter of a dread disease, a seemingly insoluble tangle of finances, or an apparent dead-end career, we can say no to appearances, and by rejecting them, we can change them. By rejecting them. You see, we accept things. We accept things. Don't accept what you don't want. You don't have to accept anything that you don't want. You see? Why do you want to do that to yourself? You see? Learn to say no. No, I don't want that in my life. And I'm not going to have that in my life. You see, if you talk lack and limitation, you talk disease and all that kind of stuff, what are you doing? You're drawing it to you. You're drawing it to you. Think health. Know that the life of God is coursing through your body right here and right now. That every cell in your body has God in it. And remember once before I told you there you have between 50 and 70 trillion cells in your body. Therefore you have 50 to 70 trillion gods working for you. So let them work. This rejection may be achieved instantly, or it may take time. Or it may take time. It always takes time for most of us to change our mind about something. Remember, all miracles are simultaneous at the moment of belief. We're always working on our belief to bring our mind to that belief. As soon as our mind comes to that belief, the miracle is there. It depends on us and our ability to accept that gift. The ability to accept that gift. I grew up in a family that my family didn't go to church, but my relatives all did. And I'll never forget my father always called them the Bible thumpers. And her name was Betty. And she was always, I just can't receive anything. I'm good at giving, but I can't receive. You see? You have to open yourself to receiving. You have to receive the gifts that are out there. That is a race mind thing. She was a Lutheran, by the way, the same religion that I grew up in. And this was prevalent, and it's prevalent in most religions. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And that is not true. You have to learn to receive because it keeps things in circulation. If you can't receive, how are you going to get what you want? You have to open yourself to receiving. It depends on us and our ability to accept that gift. Our God-given right to be freed from the things we do not want. I do not want this. I sit down sometimes when something's in my life and I say, get out of here. I no longer need you. I've learned all I can from you. Now go back to the nothingness from whence you came. Get out of my life. Reject those things. You do not have to live with them. I don't care what it is. You do not have to live with it. The length of time it takes is determined by our attitudes and our willingness to change. Your attitudes. Keep your attitude on a high plane. Keep it up there in the mind of God, your attitude. Yes, I can do this. Yes, I can have this. Yes, I believe this. You have to do that. Sometimes the very dread of the wrong may be so strong that we are willing to follow any way that will lead to freedom. Choose anything that will lead to freedom. 40-some years ago, when I was down and out, when I was drinking and smoking and doing all kinds of things, I was on my way to work. in a dilapidated car. And I took my hands. I was so fed up with this whole thing. I was fed up with the life. I was fed up. I was working 18 hours a day. I was doing, but anyway, complete mess. And I took my hands off the wheel, and I pounded that wheel, and I said, damn it! Things have got to change. And if I have to kiss a snake, I'll kiss a snake for that to happen. My life turned around in no time flat. Things kept dropping into my lap. People kept coming in that I never knew before. People suggested this, that, and the other thing. You have to know. You have to do that. You have to be bold. Another one of my favorites. Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. Be bold about this thing. Don't be timid. We weren't given a spirit that's timid. We were given a bold spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us. And that spirit can do anything. So use it. Be bold with it. We cannot believe in illness and health at the same time. And this is what happens. We say, oh, yes, I absolutely believe in health. And then we go to the drugstore. Has anyone been to a drugstore like that? I can't stand them. They're more like a supermarket. They give you shopping carts. Who ever heard of a shopping cart in a drugstore? Throw all this stuff in it. It's ridiculous. Don't go in those places. We cannot believe in illness and health at the same time. Neither can we accept ideas of lack and limitation along with concepts of prosperity. And that's what we do. So many times, we have to get rid of this idea of lack and limitation. So when you see the pump and the gas going up on that thing, don't get all upset and think, oh my God, I'll have no money left, and this will happen, and that will happen to me. And now you're affirming lack and limitation. You have to affirm abundance and prosperity. Abundance and prosperity. The thought of negation must be released in order to heal the condition. You see, when you do a treatment, we do that one step to negate things. But negation will always come into your mind. As soon as any type of negation comes into your mind, you have destroyed the treatment that you just did. Raymond Charles Barker said, do it, the negation step, but do it swiftly. You do not want to make a big deal out of it. I release this thought. I release it now. There is no such thing. Remember, Raymond Charles Barker would read the New York Times from cover to cover, and when he was finished with it, he would slap his hand and say, not a damn word of truth in it. You're saying? There's no truth in most newspapers. Probably no truth in most newspapers. Don't believe that stuff. The thought of negation must be released in order to heal the condition, whether it is a matter of health or finances or human relationships. You see? What is keeping you back? Something in your mind is telling you something. You must get rid of that thought. Here are some steps we can follow to be freed from any negation, lack, or limitation in our lives, and to replace them with God's abundant good. Don't you believe it? We start our overcoming by rejecting the wrong as a reality in our lives. The wrong. As long as we look at any negative aspect of our lives and call it real, we will be bound by that limitation. But God has given us the ability to say no. The ability to say no. How many people are still thinking of something that they have done in their life that was wrong at the time or was a mistake at the time, and they think that that is holding them back? You must get rid of that idea that anything is holding you back. Your past cannot hold you back unless you believe that it's holding you back. If you made a mistake in the past, it was simply because at that time your consciousness was not expanded enough to understand. So you have to forgive that. Today, you wouldn't have made those mistakes because your consciousness has expanded. So that sets you free. That's what sets you free. It's the growth. Let that old stuff go. Get it out of your head. Start thinking health, harmony, plenty, and joy. Health, harmony, plenty, and joy. Remember when I walked into that supermarket and I just was overwhelmed at the plenty that was there? I thought, how could anyone eat all this food? It was just stacked. I remember, that was Whole Foods on Fairfax there. And it was all just stacks of food. That's abundance. That's prosperity. And you have to look at it like that. When we are freed from negative thoughts or feelings, we must immediately put something else in their place, or they will creep back in when we are not paying attention. You must replace those thoughts. 30, 35 years ago, remember, I was in the real estate business. I was out driving around all the time in this dilapidated car. I would do one affirmation from one traffic light to the next traffic light. Then I would change it to the next. I made affirmation after affirmation after affirmation after affirmation to replace all the garbage that I collected in my life when my life was horrible, when I was drinking and smoking and doing all this craziness. I had to get rid of all of that. I had to replace all those things, and I replaced them with good thoughts, with good affirmations, instead of going over all that junk again. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Because they will creep right back in, people. Your mind always takes the road of least resistance. Makes a groove and it'll jump right back in the groove. You must dig yourself out of that, and you dig yourself out of that by replacing it. We know all about our imagination. Here's another little trick that I used to visualize. Every time I did an affirmation, I watched my mind was here. It was a bowl of water. That water was all the negativity. All that water. Every time I did an affirmation, I put a pebble in. I kept putting the pebbles in, the pebbles in, the pebbles in. The water came out and ran down the bowl. Now I had nothing but pebbles, which were my good affirmations. All that other garbage was gone. It was no longer in the container. No longer in my mind. This is how you use your imagination. You have to do these things. The best way to replace a thought of lack is with a thought of plenty. So think of that if you're into lack and so forth. When my mind goes into lack, I buy something for somebody else. I immediately go out and buy something. I treat somebody to something. And then I start to flow again. You see, we can put thoughts of health and peace in place of an acceptance of disease and disorder. You see, remember in this teaching, we do not believe in the necessity for disease. We do not believe, yes, we do not deny disease, remember? That's our other people, that's the Christian Science people. We're religious science. We don't believe in the necessity for it. So, put a different picture. Pictures of success can so completely fill our thoughts that there is no room for fear of failure to creep back in. You have to make no room for it. I filled that vessel, my mind, with so many affirmations, good affirmations that I wanted. There was no room for anything else to get in there. Fill your mind with what you want. Don't let your mind run rampant. Do not do that to yourself. And then, if we are open and receptive, our guidance will come. And say to that, just make that an affirmation. I am now open. I am now receptive. I am receptive for God to do its work in me, as me, and through me. In me, as me, and through me. I am opening myself now. That's that whole old idea of surrender. Just surrender. Open yourself. It won't hurt you, I can assure you. I thought it was rather pleasant. We will know what to do and when to do it, and we are ready for the next step. Always say to yourself, I am ready for my next step forward. Show me the way. I am ready for my next step forward. Show me the way. And the way will open for you. Remember the little things that I gave you before. I'm always divinely guided. I always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. So, let God do the rest. Too many people keep picking at their prayers, trying to tell God how something should come about, or wondering if He actually can accomplish the job. God can accomplish any job. When you do a treatment or a prayer, let it alone. Don't work harder than God. Don't work harder than God. And this is what most of us do. We try to figure it out. Remember, you are fun and entertainment. God is ways and means. Don't take over God's job. Fun and entertainment. God has ways that to the human sense may seem miraculous. And all of these avenues are open to us when we do our part. And we do our part by getting our bloated nothingness out of the way. That's one of your favorites, isn't it? That's Emerson. Get your bloated nothingness out of the way. Yes, get it out of the way. Of the way. Yes, absolutely. After rejecting the wrong, we can trust God to finish the job in His perfect way. Let God do that. And what God has done, He can do again. When we free our minds of lack or illness and fill our thoughts with abundance and radiant life, then we can surely trust our loving Heavenly Father to provide our good in His perfect way. If there is any lack of good in your life, don't you believe it. Instead, accept God's gift of everything good. Let His riches of health, abundance, harmony, freedom, and joy flow into your life now. Flow into your life now. This thing of waiting one more minute for something is absolutely ridiculous. Say to yourself, I am open now for the flow of God to come into my life. Or the energy, the intelligence, the wisdom. Whatever makes sense to you. Whatever makes sense to you. You know. God will do this, this energy. Absolutely. We call this religious science, and we use that word science. Why do we use the word science? Because science is able to prove itself. And you can prove this teaching. You can prove this teaching. It's scientific. But you have to open yourself to this. You have to get rid of the lack. You have to get rid of the limitation. You have to learn to accept that you are a wonderful human being. That you are whole and complete and perfect. That you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. Oops. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. So I hope that this, I find these little things, I never throw anything out as you can see. Oh, come on. Use this, reread it. I don't know how many times I have reread this. Last week, I finished again rereading The Mental Equivalent. The Mental Equivalent. I reread that for the hundredth. I don't know how many times I've read that. You know, I should have it memorized. But every time I find something new in it, I find something that I need to know in it. You see? So do that. Now I have some cards. Our appointment with life takes place in the present moment. Our appointment with life, that means don't wait any longer. It's here. Right here and right now. Our ancestors are still alive in us, and we can call upon them anytime we like. I love that one, that our ancestors are still in us. I often think of my mother, my father, my grandparents, and all the wonderful things that they did. And when I need help, I ask them also for help. You can do this. We are not alone. We are never alone. There's help always available. We don't attach to people or to things. We attach to uninvestigated concepts that we believe to be true in the moment. Uninvestigated concepts that we believe to be true in the moment. Investigate. Remember, the questions to always ask, is it true, is it false, or I don't know. And it's usually going to be, I don't know. I don't know. Use that. Since doubt and worry are a misuse of my power of imagination, I choose instead to accept the best from myself and from others. Doubt and worry are a misuse of your power of imagination. The greatest gift that we have been given, the imagination, to imagine something. You can use the you can use the word imagination. You can use the word to visualize. When you visualize, you are making a form. And if you hold that form in mind, it must take flesh and dwell among you. It must take flesh and dwell among you. We visualize and we give up too soon. You see, what happens is when we say that everything is already done in mind, it's already done in mind. You have a vision. It's in mind. Why isn't it here now? Because it's not heavy enough to drop down to this plane of action. You must visualize it long enough for it to get heavy, to build flesh so that it will drop down here. And I told just to you, and I remember, Andy, Do you remember I said it's always done in mind? And you said to me, how does it drop down? I said, make a hole for it. Make a hole for it. It'll come down to you. You visualize it and you don't make a hole. Do you remember that one? Well, thank God. Okay. Ah, for me. Your anger is yourself. And you should not be violent towards it. The same thing goes for all of your emotions. Your emotions are your children. You can't get angry with yourself for having those emotions, for having your anger. So if you get angry at your anger, it only builds and builds till it turns into rage. Have the anger, let it siphon off, and tell it also to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. Just let it go away. We're going to get angry. Now, most people are taught, and especially Christians are taught, that anger and all that is not a good thing. Did the master teacher, one of the master teachers, which they called Jesus, did he not get angry and throw the money changers out of the temple? He got angry many times in his ministry. Many times. But you can't hold that against yourself. You cannot hold that against yourself. So, let's go back a moment to the title, or the topic for the month, that it stops with you. All things stop with you from now on. Don't pay attention to those things. If you're in a conversation and people are talking lack and limitation, if you don't want to offend them, say, oh, excuse me, I have to go now. Do not participate in these things. You see, don't participate in things that you don't want. Will I go turn the television on and watch the rest of this Downton Abbey now that I know that it's going to be teaching shame and guilt? I doubt it. I do not need that in my consciousness. What do I want in my consciousness? I want peace. I want beauty. I want joy. I want health. I want abundance. I want prosperity. And how am I going to get those things? Not by participating in the opposite. You have to participate in what you want. You say, remember, you must always live at the level of your demonstration. If you are wanting abundance and prosperity, then you must live at that level. You must have an idea in your mind, what does that mean? When I grew up, what did we have that we thought was wealthy? Maybe the Rockefellers. You know, not that I want to be a Rockefeller. But I want all those other little things that I just named off. This is what you're looking for in life. So, in your own mind, don't let your mind do you in, and don't let other people and the conversations around you do you in. Until I was strong enough to be able to repel conversations, you know, I didn't go home for many years. I couldn't be around my family for many years. I would talk to them on the phone, and I would send cards and letters and so forth. But I could not be around that atmosphere till I was strong enough to be able to do it. Now I can go home, but I don't go home for a long period of time because there's too many of them. There's too many of them. And that Remember, I call that whole thing in Pennsylvania the land of Nod. They're completely asleep. They have no idea what they're doing. I cannot participate in conversations where they always start out on a negative. Well, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Why would you want to put yourself down every minute? Because you think that people, that makes you humble. That makes you an idiot. Does not make you humble. You have a spirit of boldness in you. Be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And therein's the lesson. Thank you.